Hi, this is Meg Malone, the Vermont Edition digital producer, and you're listening to the Vermont Edition podcast. This episode has been edited for clarity and brevity. Happy listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Most people who go to prison will get out, and they will return to their communities. And what happens next depends on the individual, of course, but might also depend on others as well.
How does your community welcome you back? Does your community welcome you back? Rarely do you see the person who says, let's go meet that person. Let's find out what's going on in that person's life that caused this to happen. Let's help this person draw out the good in them. Eventually, these folks are coming back to your community. Who do you want them to be when they get here? And who are you going to help them become?
Sue Teske is the reentry program coordinator at the St. Johnsbury Community Restorative Justice Center. And that's a clip of her talking in a new documentary by Vermont filmmaker Bess O'Brien. Coming Home explores a system used more extensively in Vermont than anywhere else in the U.S., and it's called COSA, Circles of Support and Accountability. The COSA model pairs community members with someone coming out of prison for weekly meetings and a lot of check-ins and support, with the aim of getting someone reintegrated into their community, but with healthy role models and people who they feel accountable to. It's a model that has limited data behind it, but what data there is suggests it reduces recidivism significantly. In Coming Home, O'Brien follows five people trying to make their way after prison in Vermont. And she joins us now to talk about the film. Bess O'Brien, nice to have you back on the show.
Hi, Jane. Nice to be here.
We're also joined today by Derek Miodonovic, a Community and Restorative Justice Executive for the Vermont Department of Corrections. Derek, welcome to you. Nice to have you.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks.
And it's Miodovnik. We already practiced that. Sorry. Miodovnik. It's nice to have you both here. And Bess, since you've spent so much time thinking about it, maybe a little more expansively than what I said, you can explain the COSA model.
Well, for somebody off the street and a filmmaker who came in and spent 8 months learning about this, it's a very simple concept. It's a circle of people who are volunteers who from the community have committed a year of their time to meet with somebody coming out of prison once a week. And, you know, we probably shot, 20 to 25 COSAs for these five people. All that footage did not get into the movie, but we sat in a lot of COSAs, and I was just—
And by that, you mean not 25 different COSAs of 25 different people, but you mean—
20 to 25 COSAs of these same five people.
Okay, so the same five people.
We shot the film over 8 months, so we were going back again and again to many different COSAs that these people were in over that period of time.
And that's what you call it when they meet for their weekly meetings, that's a COSA.
That's a COSA, the Circle of Support and Accountability. And essentially, it just always moved me. I was just, from a filmmaker's point of view, just sitting there and listening to these volunteers talk with these folks who have come out of prison and are trying to get their lives back together again. It was just such a wonderful, safe, loving, friendly place. I'm like, why can't I have somebody like this in my, why can't I have a circle like this in my life? I need this. You know, we all do. I mean, it's the idea of having a place to go every week and check in. And these people say, you know, how are you doing? Do you have housing? How's the job search going?
But that's part of the point too, isn't it? That in many cases, these people coming out of prison, whether it's because of the lives they led before prison or because of being shunned after prison or not being able to communicate with family members or older friends who may be involved in things they're not allowed to be involved in, they don't have that circle of support that some other people might, right? So that's part of why having this circle come together is seen as something that would be really beneficial beyond just, hey, a couple more people to help support you.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of time when you're coming out of prison, for instance, you're dealing with trying to stay in recovery because you have addiction issues. You know, we know that many people who are in prison have underlying struggles around addiction. So you come out of prison and, you know, you can't hang out with your old friends because those were the people that you used and maybe some of your family members use. And so you have to be very careful in your interactions with them. And you also have probation and parole who are telling you things like, you know, you have a curfew at this time, so you can't hang out with people after 7 o'clock at night. And you can't, you know, sometimes it's literally you can't walk down the street because this is where, you know, people are using, or if you're a sex offender, there's a, you know, there's a school there, whatever. Your world is small. And so what the COSA team does is it creates a place where you can go to meet new people, people that you probably wouldn't have necessarily hung out with before. And they are there for you. And in the movie, you know, the people coming out of prison said a couple of times, you know, why are these people, they're doing this for free. They're hanging out with an ex-convict. You know, it's like, this is amazing that they're there for me. And I think also I would say for the volunteers, it also changes their lives because you've got doctors and lawyers and business people and retired people and teachers who are doing this. And I'm sure they never thought in their lives that they would be sitting around once a week with a sex offender or a person who had been thrown in prison for selling drugs. But here they are, and they're getting to know this person, and they're realizing that there's much more about this person than just the crime that they committed. And the humanity in these COSAs is just profound and beautiful. And I just loved it. I always looked forward to shooting those COSAs because it always made me feel good when I left.
There's a scene in the film with two older women sisters who are part of a small book group that they have with a registered sex offender who's part of a COSA. And they said, this is not what our friends thought we'd be doing, that two old ladies at the home of a sex offender spending, you know, our time talking about books. But we love it. And he's just trapped us. And we really we enjoy it. Derek, this program is voluntary, sort of. I mean, it is voluntary, but it's strongly encouraged in some cases by the Department of Corrections. How does it connect to DOC?
Yeah, so it's definitely voluntary. It is not a mandatory component, nor is it a precondition for anybody to be released from one of our facilities. It serves individuals who are being released under community supervision. We call that furlough status here in Vermont. And it looks at the folks that we consider, based on the risk assessment instruments that the Vermont Department of Corrections, as well as far as I know, all Department of Corrections use, to be at an elevated, moderate to high risk for reoffending, and have high needs, which are connected to some of those risk areas.
Give me some examples of what kinds of situations you're talking about there.
Well, the circle of support and accountability model has its origins in working with individuals who've been convicted for sexual offenses. In Vermont, we've expanded that. But I think that that's a poignant example because that's a subpopulation, which A, is very diverse in and of itself. I think part of this larger goal of the film is to broaden the public dialogue about who are the folks who come out and what are the generalizations and what are these unproductive categories. But for the purposes of the conversation today, individuals who've been convicted for a sexual offense are likely to have a high degree of need for pro-social peers, because the very nature of their conviction has left most people who are either in their lives before or potentially would be in their lives pretty predisposed to not wanting to engage. So as Sue Teske said in that clip earlier, COSAs find these community members who are willing to show up and step forward, to be in authentic relationship with the individual who we call the core member, but also for the public safety. The motto of COSA is no more victims. So there's really a triangular relationship happening whereby there's a high engagement with the individual so that no one else is victimized again. And it's predicated on the willingness, not only, of course, of those community volunteers, but of the core member, his or herself, to say, you know something? I don't want to be that person again. I want to succeed as a community member, I also need some of the what we think of as social capital, but relationships and the extra accountability in order to manifest my best self. And when you have that combination, what we're finding is it's pretty transformational as a complement to correction supervision. So it's presented as an option. It is also presented for the individuals who, again, based on our classification or risk assessment, if you will, suggest that they would most benefit for it. And we, as a public, would most benefit if they were engaged in that process.
Are there also incentives in terms of a shorter term of probation or anything like that for participating?
That's a great question. No, there are no incentives as it relates to how the terms of their supervision. Beyond the intrinsic or otherwise internal incentives that I mentioned, that sense of I want to be successful and be a full member of this community, one of the practical things that kind of translates the theory to the action of what happens in ECOSA is, as best mentioned, field supervision has a lot of what you can't do. Mm-hmm. Unless you have the permission of your probation and parole officer. And the challenge that corrections faces is that absent some ambassadors to community life, the histories of these individuals would suggest that it would not be prudent to allow somebody to just go to the gym by themselves, to all sorts of settings, because, again, we need to look at their past behavior. However, if they are encircled by three trained and certified volunteers from the community, now a whole range of community-based activities, practical things, going fishing, sitting down and having a coffee, are allowable because corrections has, in effect, extended its ability to provide reintegrative opportunities because of the connection that then flows back through the reentry coordinate, the COSA coordinator, to the probation and parole officer. So that's an incentive, and it should be presented as such. You get to do more out in the community.
What about the volunteers? We got a note from Neville in Montpelier, who I think is one of the featured volunteers, COSA members in your film, Bess, who says, yeah. In 3+ years volunteering with the COSA program, I've had the satisfaction of helping participants rediscover their best selves. What I hadn't foreseen is how the group process would help bring growth and healing to my personal life. And, you know, you can imagine people nodding along with Derek. Yes, this is valuable. It's valuable for a community to envelop a person who's coming out of prison. It's valuable to have community supports. But it's a big leap from that sort of theoretical agreement to saying, and therefore, I'm going to spend every week with a registered sex offender. You know, what motivates these volunteers to give that much of their lives? In many cases in your film, invite them into their homes, go to activities, and become genuine friends with people who, as you mentioned, they might not otherwise be interacting with.
Well, I don't know what motivates them, but God bless them. And I guess what I have to say is, yeah, you have to take a bit of a risk. You know, that's what life is. You know, you have to say there was actually a short film that was done in Canada because COSA started in Canada, by the way. And Derek showed me the short film before I even shot my movie. And there was just one little bit in it that really resonated for me of a guy in his 30s who had who lived in a small town in Canada. And he was asked to be on a COSA and to be part of a COSA that was focused on a sex offender. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to hang out with a sex offender. Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, I have a daughter who's 6. I mean, that's disgusting. No. And they said, well, just think about it for a couple days. And so he went away and he thought about it. And as he thought about it, he said, you know what? If I actually am on this COSA and I get to know the sex offender and I can keep my eyes on the sex offender and help him become a productive member of society, I am actually making my community safer for my daughter. So, hey, what a concept. And so he did it and it changed his life. And the sex offender went on and was healthy for the rest of his life. And it was great. And so what I would say to that is we know that when you alienate people and say, you know, you, we don't like you, stand over there in the corner or go to the other side of the tracks, or I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to help you reintegrate into our community. I mean, it's human nature. I mean, any of us who are alienated become alienated. And then we say, you know, what do I have? Fine, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to commit another crime. I'm going to mess up again because nobody cares for me and I don't feel connected to my community. But if you become invested and you connect with people and you start that friendship and that respect, that mutual respect, there is more that motivates you to not mess up again. And so what I would say to volunteers, and by the way, we're going to be touring this film all over Vermont, and we hope that more people will sign up to be volunteers because we need more volunteers. Every single volunteer that I met that was in my movie, it changed their lives. It moved them. They learned so much. And I would just say go for it.
We got an email from another volunteer named Pat who says, I'm a COSA volunteer, have served on 6 COSAs, and it's worth noting that many core members ask to continue with the COSA after the required year is over. And I'll interject here for people who didn't catch that the first time. The core member is the person who's come out of prison, who is being supported by these volunteers. So Pat says, often core members ask to continue after this first year is over. And Pat goes on to say, I have a continuing relationship with 2 of the core members who have completed their official time in COSA. So this does sometimes extend beyond the sort of required term of the agreement with COSA. Barbara in Burlington says, my question pertains to the conditions for women at the state's only correction center in Vermont that serves women, Chittenden County Correctional Center in South Burlington. Programming opportunities are minimal for women. Women seem at a disadvantage in Vermont from sentencing to discharge. Do your guests have any thoughts on women in corrections and their status after release? Derek, let me throw that one to you.
Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate the attention to that population. And from what we think of as a gender-responsive approach, COSAs and the broader, what I consider to be restorative approaches, really have at their core the centrality of relationships. And what we know and what we're finding to be confirmed through the COSA experience is that when we are in more relationships that are pro-social, we tend to bring forward our best selves. We're accountable.
By pro-social, what do you mean?
So thank you. One of the occupational hazards of working in corrections is that we have this language that we need to make sure that folks understand. But basically, the types of thoughts and behaviors and relationships that advance our collective well-being. That's reflected in, are we acting and socializing in a way that, you know, at a minimum keeps everybody safe and hopefully produces better outcomes for our kind of collective well-being and community. So in terms of the original question, what I can say is this. We've done 425 COSAs to date, including those that are active. And a significant portion of those COSAs has been and continues to be for women. So the COSA program in Vermont, again, looks at individuals who themselves are willing, who what we know suggests that they will benefit and the public will benefit from them having pro-social peers and increased leisure skills. And that lens is then applied to anyone coming out. Now, of course, we have a smaller proportional population of women, so we'd likely see that reflected in the relative number of core members across gender lines. But the fact is that what we know about gender-responsive approaches to supervision in general would only suggest that the more that we could extend this to as many women as possible, the increased likelihood that, you know, again, we'll just get better outcomes. So, I'm aligned and I appreciate the thought, Barbara.
I'm Jane Lindholm. This is Vermont Edition. Today, we're talking with documentary filmmaker Bess O'Brien about her new film, Coming Home, which explores COSA, Circles of Support and Accountability. Derek Miodovnik, Community and Restorative Justice Executive for the Vermont Department of Corrections, is also with us talking about this model and how it works. In a COSA group, the core member is the person who the community members and staffers are rallying around. Tara and Travis, 2 of the core members featured in Coming Home, talked about how it feels to have these volunteers helping them.
These are members from the community that go and take time out of their day or out of their week, out of their year, really is what it is, because it's over the course of a year, to understand you and who you are as a person and just try to be there for you to fall back on if need be.
These people want to be here with me. They choose to come. They've gotten to know me. They have become friends with me. And That's pretty amazing.
As for the community members themselves, Linda serves as a COSA volunteer for Deb, another of the core members featured in the film. Here's what Linda has to say about the experience.
Every time I go to a COSA meeting, I realize how wonderful it is because we COSA people meet with each other as human beings, not as a college professor, not as a nurse, not as an addict. We meet as human beings, and all of those false lines are erased.
Needless to say, the film Coming Home takes a sympathetic approach to the idea of COSAs, and we're talking a little bit about what's involved, how it works. And let's hear from someone who's been through this. Tara Bent is one of the five core members profiled in the film, and she's on the line with us now. Hi, Tara. Nice to talk with you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, and I'm glad you're here. So you were sent to prison for possession of heroin, for the sale and delivery of a regulated drug, and for out-of-state warrants for prostitution and soliciting. And when you came out, you became part of a COSA group, this circle of support and accountability. And I'm curious about your first thoughts when this was first suggested to you, and you said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. What did you think you were going to get out of it?
Well, it's actually funny because my probation officer had introduced the thought to me while I was still in jail and then brought it up to me again when I was in my transitional period in another facility. And I absolutely hated the idea. I was not open to it at all. But when probation recommends something, I realized that it's not really a recommendation for some reason. And I didn't really know what I expected to get out of it. I guess I expected to get out of it another group of people just telling me what to do or judging me or making me tell my story all over again.
Is that why you say you hated the idea at first, because that's what you expected?
Yeah, because I grew up without a whole lot of structure in my life, and people weren't there to do that. So now I've got the jail and I've got probation already telling me, and that was an idea of what a COSA was supposed to be.
And what was it? How did it turn out for you?
It was nothing like that at all. In fact, it didn't take a whole lot of time into my COSA process for me to warm up to it at all. And I think also that might have to do with my group of people, because I connected with every single one of them on a different level, and it felt natural, and it became definitely more of a support for me than anything.
If you had to quantify for somebody who says, okay, but you know, there's time and money being spent on this, this is something the state supports, is it really working? I know that that's hard to say possibly in terms of like, well, if I didn't have it, I would have done X. But do you have a sense of what you think having a COSA has done for you?
I utilize my COSA very, very much for them to be there. I didn't want to make new relationships. I didn't want to go out and meet people when I first came home. I really needed that structure, and I really needed those people to be there for me, rooting for me, you know, not sending me down the wrong path, but being there telling me like, you know, yeah, you're worth it and you can do it and you're doing a great job, and just pushing me to the next step. Honestly, and it sounds crazy, but I don't know how my transitioning into the community would have went if they weren't there the way that they were there for me.
Are you still in touch with any of the members of your COSA?
Yeah, I graduated my COSA a year ago. Actually, in September was a year ago I graduated after the year, and I still see all of them often.
Would you count them as friends, as not just people who were involved in this task that they had volunteered for, but are they actual friends of yours?
Yes. I honestly, one of them, I believe, is the mother that I never had. And another one, she travels a lot or was traveling a lot, so I don't get to see her as often as I'd like to. But two work right here in town, and I go over as often as I can. And I keep in contact texting with them pretty fairly, too.
Tara, it's one thing to be involved in this. It's another thing to agree to let a filmmaker come in and spend 8 months filming you, talking about these really personal details of your life and what you're going through. Why did you agree to that?
I know. Also, because I realized that after a while of me telling my story, it helps me. It helps me to say the things out loud. And I really honestly feel like if I can connect to one person in the audience and help them move past whatever it is they're going through, however that may be, you know, reach out for these extra supports, agree to a thing like this, even if it makes you uncomfortable, and just find out where it goes. Just see where it goes. Don't be so judgmental of the process in the beginning, because it feels amazing, even if I can just help one person by telling my story.
Does your life,
all right.
Tara, does your life feel different now than it did 2 years ago?
Yeah, 3 years ago, actually. And yes, it feels much, much different. I feel amazing, to be honest.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. It was very interesting to watch your story unfold in the film, and I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us on this program and share a little bit of it. Thank you, Tara.
No, thank you.
Hi, Tara.
Yes, Bess has been sitting here very calmly.
I know. I was listening. I had a couple of things to say in the beginning of my hold, but I realized nobody could hear me.
Yeah, Tara's awesome.
Well, do you want to say them, Tara? Do you have something else you want to say?
I mean, the whole programming thing that Derek responded to kind of bothered me a little bit, because I'm not a believer of that. I feel like maybe not 100%, but a lot of the programs that are offered to women, we're just a little bit more reluctant to accept. I know the whole year that I was in jail, I was in programming, and I accepted the programming when I got out of jail, and I'm still, you know, I'm 2 years strong on the street without any trouble. I just feel like people need to be more open to doing this programming. You can go to classes and you can go to substance abuse stuff in Tinton County, or you can sit around the unit and watch TV and find about being there. And there's just, you just have to make that choice, I guess.
So you think there's some cynicism or reluctance to sometimes buy in or engage in the programming that's offered?
Yeah, it's just like the difference between, you know, women go to jail and they gain a bunch of weight, and men go to jail and they get all jacked and work out all the time. And it's just a drive, I guess. I don't know. It's different.
Well, Tara, again, I really appreciate you sharing your perspective and the pushback as well. That's Tara Bent, one of the five core members profiled in the film Coming Home. It's a documentary looking at how COSAs, Circles of Support and Accountability, work. Thanks again, Tara.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And let's go to our calls. A lot of people sharing perspectives and thoughts. Peter is calling in from Montpelier. Hi, Peter. You're on the air.
Hi, Jane. Thank you. The question is, has there been any research done on the effectiveness of COSAs, that is, members of COSAs, and then those who don't have COSAs, and how they do? Recidivism rates, that sort of thing. And if the results are good, positive, what steps can there be done to have more COSAs in Vermont?
Peter, thank you for the call. I think you're both probably well-equipped to answer this, Derek Miodovnik and Bess O'Brien. But Bess, let's start with you. It's actually part of the film.
Yes.
Do talk about the data.
The statistic in the film is that with COSAs, the rate of recidivism goes down about 30%. So that's pretty good. That's, I guess, very good in correctional terms. And, you know, so we know that if you're in a COSA, you have a lesser risk of going back to jail. Derek, you probably know more than me.
Yeah, so I'm going to do my best not to get really data-y and wonky. I find that that's difficult in general to talk about, and probably all the more so on radio. What I will say is this. That the question is a really important one, and we're really fortunate to have within the state a PhD, Dr. Kathy Fox, who's done some fantastic independent research about the very questions that you're asking, Peter. And when I say independent, not research that the Department of Corrections has asked her to do, and her findings, as Bess just cited, are very promising. She did do a comparison study where one group who had COSAs was matched along all the sort of majorly important variables to another in terms of the type of offense and the length of time incarcerated, with the critical difference being one group did not have COSAs. And what we saw is a significant reduction. In broad strokes, the group that had COSAs reoffended half as much for any type of felony reconviction.
So why not make it a mandatory part of parole? Why not have this for everybody?
So a couple things there. And one just to follow up, but first on Peter's second part, and then I'll speak to that. I'll put in this plug right now. Hopefully I'll get a chance to do it again. I'm happy to send out these data reports and our stats and really get make that available to folks. So COSA@vermont.gov.
We'll put a link to that at vpr.net.
Great. And because, again, be happy to engage about the data. The question about how can we leverage that to do more? Well, we need more volunteers. The more volunteers, the more COSAs. To your question about why not make this mandatory, because the place that this derives from is some of the transformational things that we derive when people opt in to intentional relationships. It doesn't come from a coercive power over role. If you think about restorative practices and COSA as an example of doing with, then that requires people to voluntarily engage. And that changes a lot when people are told that they have to. But again, I'd be happy to pick this up offline to whatever extent folks would like to, because the data is quite compelling.
Bess, in your film, you follow, as we've talked about, five different people. And over the course of your filming, two of them went back to prison.
Uh-oh, you gave away the spoiler alert.
I know, sorry. But because I want to ask you, because it's heartbreaking. I mean, this is a sympathetic film. It's a sympathetic to the idea, and it's certainly sympathetic to the people who are profiled. And so as you're watching, you think, oh, no, I want this person to succeed. So do you see that as a failure of the COSA or not? I mean, how do you sort of – I'm asking you to put a cap on this program now. But, you know, how do you see that? How do you see this program?
Yeah, I don't see it as a failure. I mean, yes, it's disappointing. It's heartbreaking for the couple of people who do make a mistake and go back and actually then come out. And you also see that in the film. You know, I often think of this in the same way that we talk about addiction and recovery, which is that we tend to think, well, you know, just get clean and get, you know, stay clean and, you know, just make it happen. And we know, for instance, that in recovery, many times people are in recovery for a while and then they fall off the wagon, and it takes a couple of times for you to really get your feet on the ground. And I would say, I don't know whether Derek agrees, but I would say when you have spent most of your life in a criminal situation or in a traumatic situation where you're in and out of jail and you come out, it doesn't always work the first time, or you'll have an expanse of time where it's really working and then, you know, an old pattern comes up, or you get triggered by something and you make a stupid mistake and unfortunately go back to jail for a period of time. But what you see in the film is, frankly, which was extraordinary to me, is that the COSA teams follow these people through the time they're in jail and are there when they get out. And so to me, that was phenomenal. And once again, it's like, you know, when our kid does something wrong, do we just say, you're abandoned and I'm never going to talk to you again? No, you put them in their room, and then after 3 hours, you bring them out and you give them a hug and say, let's start over. I mean, this is sort of the concept of it. And I would say COSAs are good all the way around, all the time. That's my bias.
That's Bess O'Brien, producer and director of the film. It's called Coming Home. We should note VPR is a media sponsor of the film. Derek Miodovnik is community and restorative justice executive for the Vermont Department of Corrections. Thanks very much to both of you.
Appreciate
and we're
touring the movie all across Vermont.
That's right. And we'll put more information up at VPR.net.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank all the folks who participated directly in the movie, shared their stories, and all our statewide volunteers who make this happen. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.